Well, we're back into our teaching today on submission and authority. And we did a bit of introduction and things and stuff last week and talked about it because this is one of those topics that, we usually don't get as many, chuckles out of and stuff because it's a sobering part of it, but really it deals with areas that if we don't understand when we're operating in our authority, really affects people, why sometimes as people's authority don't work. When the Bible tells us that we reap what we sow, in other words, if I sow the wrong things, even dealing over the areas of authority and doing things like that, I'm going to turn around and reap that over here when I need to use authority to do something. And so we want to walk in the light of these things. And but we did talk really in our emphasis basically about submission to God's word, and that's a subject basically that we should understand and know. I think we do, but one of the greatest things I really appreciate in these sessions because we get to put this stuff and record these things because, boys, a lot of people need to hear things that they don't know. You know, there's so much. This past weekend. Got around some individuals, and I mean Christian people, and listened to them talk. I want to tell you what blew my mind. I mean, just listen to things that they're talking and saying, and I'm thinking, man, they are so far off base of the Word of God. And I mean, these aren't some, if their churches and stuff teach us stuff, but sometimes you can't say the church teaches it. Sometimes people just have their beliefs, and they sit right in a place and tell them the truth, but I'm thinking, well, people really aren't in submission to the Word of God. And they wonder why things turn out the way that they do or why things work. And I like the fact of understanding and having guidelines of where I can work between. That helps me. I don't know about any other people, but that helps me to know where my boundaries are. And then I have enough sense that if I cross the boundary, I don't blame somebody else for my crossing the boundary. Hey. We were living in a society that people are living over the boundaries and blaming everybody else for their life. And they're living over the boundaries. They've gone beyond them. And we have more sense in that. So, anyhow, today what we're going to begin looking at topic and part of submission is dealing with submission to men. Because because sometimes we're going to try to give some balance to this over in the areas of submission because and I'm not really going to take time. I'm going to teach some things and go into more detail than what we did at school. You know, in school we had classes. They have so many sessions that they can do things. And we could teach this and talked about these things in more session and go into more detail, which is helpful. They didn't try to cover everything. They didn't try to do that in Bible school because you just can't do it. And we could be more detailed in that stuff and take our time. But I do believe it's important. Because how far do we go in submission to people, and what where are the boundaries? Sometimes from a scripturally, sometimes things aren't maybe quite as clear as we'd like to have them. But this is why it's one of the big things is we talked about at the end last week about submission to the Holy Spirit and to your own human spirit, submission to your spirit, listening to your inner man. You know, your inner man is number one is listening, following your conscience. That's what it is following your conscience. Because it'll help you in doing that. Because, you know, the Bible's not full of every answer that we need. But because of the things that are taught in the Bible, we can find the answers we need. We can hook up with God and get the answers we need. And that's the wonderful thing. It's just like nobody ever went to a college and taught them everything. They didn't. No one definitely, when you I don't care how good of a student you were going through school and all through grade school, elementary, junior high, and high school, you came out, they hadn't told you everything. Did you find that out? Well, they couldn't. And so understand, but we do have a way of getting our answers. Now, the submission to men, and we want to talk about this because submission to people that God places over you or God has placed of men. Now, and understand, everybody, no one is out here who is not submission under other people, and it's submission that under submission to somebody. Everybody is. Now, we have a society that lives like they're not submitted to anyone, and that's the way. You know, just like we were talking in the beginning about the court system, when you look at criminal stuff's going on, you have people living like they're not under submission to nothing. And sadly to say, most people in America anymore, democracy means I do what I want. Well, it's not like that. It was never set up that way, and that's why the chaos you have goes on and things are weird, because there are... But then when we look at authorities, we want to talk about, because when we look at authorities, how far do we go concerning submission? We'll talk about these things. Now, we're going to look over at Romans, the 13th chapter. Romans, the 13th chapter we want to see here. You'll find here is another area of scriptures that we find that you will not find a whole lot where, you know, is today when you go, excuse me, if you watch TV or listening, maybe in radio ministers and that stuff, not a lot talked about these things. But these things need to be talked about. If they're not taught, people don't know, even Christians, they don't know. And if they don't understand, you know, they can't pass knowledge on to their children, they don't know, and they won't pass them on. And so children grow up, the only knowledge they have is what they hear in school and what they hear in everybody, and if the school's teaching a different direction, they don't know. And so you can't blame them for that. And in the 13th chapter in verse 1 says this. Now understand, listen, this is the Apostle Paul in writing. The Apostle Paul he's a guy who, now he's in Rome teaching this, in talking to the Roman church. This is the same place they took him up and put him in prison. He's ended up in prison there. He's a prisoner. And he says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authority that exists are appointed by God. Now, over the years, people have taught this wrong, and it's passed on down. What he said, the governing authorities, he said, for there is no authority except from God. Now, number one, there's no authority. In other words, all authority has come from God. Authority and the operation of the earth is the passing on of authority has come from God. Now, and then he said, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. The authority in the earth that exists, the authorities. Now, that doesn't mean God has placed each person in the position they're in. Now, we need to understand if in the earth, it's just like here in America. Americans have this opportunity. God has placed governing authorities in position. In other words, if you read and study the Bible tells us this. God has established governments, but he's also established nations. The Bible says that God even made the boundaries of the nations. So there's things that God did. In other words, God put governing areas and that stuff into the earth. The fact that there's different nations and stuff, that was God's plan. God did that. God put those things in the earth for a purpose. Now, that's why we have today such chaos going on. You know, like we have all these people that they want to have anybody in the world can travel from one place to the other without being checked. That's diabolical. You know, these people want open border. That's diabolically against the Bible. God established boundaries. Nations have boundaries. Now, God gave nations authority. But now understand, man in the earth was delegated authority, and we'll, you know, in that when Adam was in the earth, Adam and Eve, God told Adam, "Look, I'm going to give you dominion over all the earth, all the animals, everything. That's under your dominion." In other words, God gave Adam authority to rule the earth. He gave him that authority. Now Adam sold that out. In fact, the Lord Jesus Himself told Kenneth Hagin. He said that in a vision that Adam committed high treason and took that authority and gave it to Satan by following after him. So in other words, he gave Satan some of his authority in the earth, and Satan's been operating under that authority. Now, in the earth, God has given authority. Let's say God has gave the authority for rulers of nations. But, you know, we're in nations and stuff. People pick what they want to live under. People decide. God don't decide that. God gave the authority, but we decide who we let handle that authority. You know, we decide that. It's sort of like, you know, a parent. I mean, a parent would decide in their authority what they want to allow their children to do and not do. God don't. The parent has been given the authority by God, but God doesn't. God may have no say whatsoever through that individual to what their children do. Now, if people yield their authority to God, then they would make right decisions as an authority in the earth. So we don't have a president. Now, this is one of the terrible doctrines that's been preached in the earth is the fact that, like, God, well, God will have the leader that he wants. If he, you know, like, you know, this is one that he chooses. No, we don't. People choose that. We choose it, not God. God has given the authority. I mean, I had a guy tell me not long back here, you know, that, well, yeah, God will have the person he wants in the president. I said, he will. And I said, in other words, God wanted Obama? So that God's the problem, not Obama. Let's get this real. All this that's going on, then homosexual marriage is God's fault. You know? Is that God's fault? Come on. But see, you know, people are as dumb as a stick, and they don't follow because they don't understand authority and what the Scripture says. They have their interpretation, but they don't really read what it says. Sort of like Kenneth Hagin used to always say, he used to always tell you, people read the Bible with their religious colored glasses. In other words, they read the Bible according to their beliefs, not according to what the Bible said. They already believe something going in, and when they read it, they think it says what they believe. Well, now the word says this. It says, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. The resistment. Now, we want to look at, because we want to look at some scriptural examples today of this, of dealing with, what is he talking about, the resistance of authority, or how we act toward authorities. We need to understand this. An authority, somebody who has been given authority, may not do right with the authority, but what's our conduct toward that individual? What are we supposed to do? Now, we need to know this and clarify this, because there's extremes that have been taught on both sides. I think Christianity has been generally very poor in all the years that I understand Christianity, that I was born and raised in, even up today. They don't do good. I was born and raised in groups, they said nothing about the government, never did a thing about it. Most of them never voted, they didn't do any of that kind of stuff. You didn't do that. God gets in office who he wants and all this kind of stuff. They actually believed, I mean, my dad, I don't know if he believed it when he went to heaven, but I knew my dad used to believe that if people were in government, they couldn't be saved. Nobody was saved, and you couldn't be in the government and be saved. That those were people that... So I was like, I don't know how they came up with that, but somebody did some weird thinking to come up with that. Anyhow, so they just stayed out of the political system whatsoever, never used their voice in the system, which is nothing but just ridiculous. But where do things fall at? Now, we need to understand this. There are levels of authority. There are levels of authority. Okay. We started off talking about the authority of God, and that's why we talked about the Word of God. The number one authority in your life should be the Word of God. That's the number one. Now, every authority falls underneath God. It falls under there. Now, sometimes we deal with authorities. We need to know that we're dealing with authorities. A lower authority could do something wrong and do something illegal. Or something. I had, an incident when I worked at Reese's. I had an authority, a supervisor was over us. We had had a problem with metal in the flour in the Kit Kat area I worked. And when we located it, we popped the pipes and that stuff. And what we did is where we found it at, and we sort of worked back to find, well, where's the source, you know. Yeah. So we took the source back, and we started looking back into things and found that we were getting... It was coming in, the flour was, it was coming in the flour, the metal, and then we found that we went back through to the flour bins, and we found out then that in the flour bins there was an auger in the bin that was bad. But we got back to there. Well, we hadn't got into the bin yet, and the supervisor wanted us to just clean the stuff up from there out and then just start running again. And I said, we can't do that. I said, that metal's coming from inside. We know that. Well, we got to, you know, he's going to run. And so now somebody might say, well, you can't go against the authority. Well, now he has an authority, but his authority is a limited authority, just like mine was a limited authority. There's an authority over him that was called the Food and Drug Administration. And the Food and Drug Administration has rules how that has to be done. And so I said to him, I said, I can't do that. I said, if you want to start it up, you go ahead. You do the stuff. But I said, I ain't running it. You run it, you turn it on, you run the thing, you do whatever you want. I said, I won't, because I said, we're going to trouble. Because metal's going to be in there. And I said, when they come in here to find out about this, I said, I am taking zero blame. This is all on you. He said, go ahead and start. I said, I ain't starting. You start it. You run it. I said, I ain't doing it. He said, you know, I can fire you. I said, yeah, you're going to fire me, but I said, you're going to look stupid because I said, you fire me, I'm calling the Food Drug Administration, tell them what you did. And I said, when they get in this plant, I said, you're going to have them in here for months and months on end checking everything. And I said, how long do you think you're going to have your job? Well, he changed his mind. But see, I wasn't being mean to him. I was reverting to a higher authority that was over him that had made rules. I wasn't trying to break rules. What I'm trying to, look, this is what we're told we have to do. And we were told things that we had to do. And those authorities, it's just like with him. If the plant manager said, don't do certain things, and he said, we're going to do it anyhow, I'd have said, you're going to go ahead and do it. I ain't doing it. I mean, we had a production manager over the plant who was taken out of the plant, man, when he went and turned around and ran stuff that he wasn't supposed to run. And we had rules that he didn't run it. He ran it, knew it, and ran it anyhow, and he was gone. Why? Because there was a higher authority. And so this is what we do. You and I as Christians, there's an authority that we've been given by God. Now, our authority is outlined in, we could say the Bible is sort of the outline of our authority. It's sort of our outline of things. And that outline that we have is given to us. We should always rely. Don't like people say, well, you know, I actually heard this, you know, that people would say things like, you know, like a woman would say she had to be under authority to her husband, a Christian. Well, if he told her to do, and I heard this one time, and they said it was actually true that this woman told him that, and it's hard for me to believe it. But she said if her husband told her to have sex with another man, she was supposed to obey her husband. Well, no, you have a higher authority. The Bible is a higher authority. And the higher authority, so you always yield back. Now, it's a difference between, if somebody would tell me to do something to sin, I couldn't sin. Now, like when I was at Reese's, I would get sometimes around Christians and they would say, well, this is a wrong thing to do. It's one thing for something to be, you know, that you feel that should be done better under how you run something or do something. When a guy told you to do something that wasn't sin, that's what he said, how he wanted it run. It's just like with it would have been a sin for me to do what that supervisor wanted me to do. Why? Because if I know to do good and do it not, to me it's sin. And it wasn't good to do that. See, he was asking me to do a wrong thing that was against a law that was given. That's a wrong thing. And I said, I won't do that. I won't break that law. Why? There's an authority gave that law. The Bible tells me, the Word of God, I have to obey my authorities. You have an authority to appoint, but you just stepped outside the boundaries of your authority. So now you're not operating in a place of authority. You're not there. This is why we have our trouble today in our nation. We have a president who has stepped outside of his bounds of authority and they are doing nothing about it. He doesn't have the authority to do certain things he did, but they let him do it. So he's acting in a lawless manner. And our House and Senate has helped him do it by financing him to do it. So we know this about them. Don't sit and just yell at the president. We got a Congress, I believe, are worse than he is because they know he's doing wrong and help him do it. You know, ain't nothing worse than a person who aids and abets. And we have that. But see, what happens is people are outside boundaries of authority. They're operating outside. They don't follow what the Constitution says and law says. It's just like we're dealing. They want to make new laws on our immigration. Oh, my words. We don't follow the guidelines of authority given under the... We already don't do... They're lawless people. Our Congress is basically lawless. They're lawless men operating outside of the boundaries of law. They don't... They're just doing their thing. And they don't care. And you know, they think they're okay and they're all right. And they wonder why things are in a turmoil. That's why things get into a turmoil. You can't have... This is why it is so good to have rules and people follow rules. This is why people, you know, somebody, well, this rule here is too strict, or I don't like it this way, that. Man, stick with some rules. Don't get outside of rules. When you start doing that, see, that's what we've done in America. Once somebody steps over that boundary a little bit, somebody else is going to step over it further. Somebody's going to step over it further than that. Somebody's going to step over it. It's like they say, you give them an inch, they'll take a yard. You know, you give them a yard, they'll take a mile. And this is where we're at. It's one thing is to want to change law. They don't want to change law. They don't want to go through it legally. Why? They can't. They wouldn't be able to be done. So they have to keep this thing running illegal for themselves and keeping it going. Now, in dealing with authorities, I'm going to read in Romans, the 13th chapter there in the I read the first two verses, but in the Bible in basic English, I'll read it from there, because sometimes reading something in a different version gives us a better, maybe some you see something a little different, but it says, let everyone put himself under the authority of the higher powers, because there is no power which is not of God, and all the powers are ordered by God. In other words, it's talking the powers. There are authorities, in other words, they have a certain powers that they have to do things. It says, for which reason everyone who puts himself against the authorities puts himself against the order of God, and those who are against it will get punishment for themselves. In other words, there is just think, I mean, it says, we're going against God. God has established a rule system. God established a rule system, and you think about it. The founders of our countries established a rule system. They didn't found a country without rules. They founded a country, they made constitution. They did that within the states that they founded. The colonies were broken up into their states, and they had rules, rulers under those who made laws and how things should run. Now, all of those were laid out down through there. There was rules and how to do it. See, this is why the idea of freedom today is not at all what our God, under our Constitution, what are the people who founded it had any intent or idea of what has ended up today. It's not at all. The people say they want to go back to constitutional law. Well, I want to ask most of the people who say that, do you really? Because loads of you couldn't do what you do. Congress, oh, law, I want to go back under. I mean, we had a guy run for president who's a big constitutionalist and all that stuff. And everybody like, oh, he's a Christian man and all this kind of stuff. He said he would, he actually signed a paper and said that he, and vocally said it publicly, that he would back whoever got to be the president, who it was with a nomination for the Republican Party. And he never thought Donald Trump would end up with it. Donald Trump, and here's this man, he said, I won't do it. I won't back him. Now think about that. He's a lawless man. He's a liar and a lawless man. He's a guy that he sets himself a rule and won't even follow it. And he's supposed to be a constitutionalist. Is he going to follow the Constitution? If you don't like it, he ain't doing it. Oh, I'll say I like it, but I ain't going to do it. My word's no good. Well, see, people don't understand. You can't do that. This is why the wonder that we have as Christians is we have the highest authority that there is. And this is what we're under. And the protection of that authority, if we do what's right, God will protect us and take care of us, and we sure want to do that. And when Israel spoke against Moses, God said they spoke against him. They're speaking against, why? Because he established an authority. In other words, he gave them a governing authority. When he led them out, isn't that interesting? When God led Israel out of Egypt, he didn't lead it out as a bunch of people without a leader. And what did he do when he led them out of there? He set up rules and regulations to live by. That's what he did. That's God. See, some people say, well, governments and stuff, that's man's doing it. Uh-uh, that's God's doing. We see God specifically set a nation up. We have in the Bible a nation established by God. A nation. And how did he do it? He appointed a leader. And then he appointed to them rules and regulations that they had to follow for their nation and how they do. I mean, you go over and read the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible, it gets pretty detailed, don't it? That's where we like to do most of our reading, don't we? Hey, I want to read Leviticus now. Then Numbers is really good. I like the names. The names, the names, the names. And then I go to him to find out how you pronounce them all correctly. But no, God laid out rules and regulations of how things were to be done. And so they had guidelines that they lived by. That's difficult for people today, you know, because we have the idea of freedom means I don't have laws and rules now. That's not God. That's never been intended. God never intended that. And we talk about, because when God delegates authority, we talked about, he delegated authority to Adam in the earth. And so Adam was given authority. Now what people do with those authorities, that really makes a huge difference. Now, Jesus Christ, in one of his appearances to Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth Hagin asked Jesus who wrote the book of Hebrews, because people questioned that all the time. They said, we don't know who wrote it. And he asked if Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and the Lord Jesus told him, yes, Paul wrote that. And I've always believed it, not just because Brother Hagin said it, because if you read it, there's certain things that are said in there that are almost word for word what Paul said. And I've always thought, you know, I mean, it matches up to what Paul wrote, and things and what Paul said. Now, in Hebrews 13, verse 17 says this. It says, verse 17 of Hebrews 13, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. So rulers will give an account. You ever think about that? People don't realize this, even from the sinner standpoint. Now, he's talking here probably more from the, he could be talking about also with the church leaders and stuff, but rulers give an account. You know, people who want to be leaders in nations don't realize, and all any of these other people, they're going to give account before God. You know, I don't care if they end up in hell. They're planning what they did with the authority it was going to give to them. Men are going to stand under account one way or the other. So understand that. That's why in the church world we need to understand some of these things, that leaders give an account over people, and they do have a certain amount of rule over people. People don't like to have that today. In the church world, it's total freedom. And it's not like that. You know, people are going to be given, they're going to have to count themselves to God for their lack of submission in areas to the leaders that they have. I don't care on what level and in what. They're going to be given that. Said, let them do so with joy and not with grief. Why? You know, you give your leaders a hard time. Why? For that would be unprofitable to you. See, in other words, God said, you know, don't give your leaders a hard time. It's going to turn out bad for you. Don't do that. Keep giving your leaders a hard time. That won't work out well. And so they do have a certain amount. Because leaders do give account. And we need to know that we're dealing with pastors. Now, I watched this go, pastors and other things in the church. Within the church, there's a hierarchy set, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. And they are governing authorities in the church world. And they do have say into people's lives. They have a certain, but, I mean, not in everything. They don't. I've seen things get ridiculous over into those areas where things really got weird. I don't know if you guys remember the shepherding stuff that started back in the days of shepherding. Well, anyhow, they called this shepherding. And anyhow, it got over into control into areas where these groups started things up, and anyhow, they would go in and they would be in a church. You wouldn't necessarily have, sometimes you wouldn't have just a pastor. You might have a group of them that sort of, but what they did is they controlled people's lives. Even like with pastors, I know it, they did this thing. When people would come to, literally, people were doing this. And I talked to people at Rhema that came out of churches like that, that had church, they were involved in churches like that and got away from them. And they would go as far telling people whether they could have children, whether they, if you wanted to buy a home, you had to get approval through the church and that stuff. And you know, you got to listen to your shepherd. He has, and you know, well, who you marry, who you, these people were doing it. And there's loads of this was going on. It wasn't a little bit of it happening. There was loads of it. We had a group here in Lebanon started a church. I think they got up to like 400 and some people, 400 or 500 people they got to. And they sort of had one of those things, and people were asking them, and it fell apart. I mean, people can only stand that so long. I mean, you can, because they get ridiculous. Whether you know, you go to a pastor. I mean, my words. I mean, to what you could buy, what you could have. And, I mean, it's really ridiculous. They did. I mean, my words. I mean, what you can wear and what you can't wear. I don't want to go. I don't want that kind of control. Dear God. Sometimes I stand in the closet and look and say, well, I'll put on that. Hon? Somebody tell me. Should I put my underwear on backwards today? I don't know. Just do something different. I don't know. Weird. But, you know, we have all this kind of stuff. Weird things are going on. Weird things are, and those things, well, in other words, they stepped outside the guidelines. A minister's not to have that kind of authority over individuals. Number one, you're a spirit being, and from your standpoint, you need to learn to hear from God. You know, and I hear people get in ridiculous. These things I've heard personally, and people talk, well, I don't do anything without asking God first. I ask God in the morning what clothing I ought to wear, and you know, that's ridiculous. God don't care what color clothes you wear. And, you know, just people do that kind of, what should I wear? You know, God may speak to you sometime about a certain thing to do or a certain thing to put up. He may speak to you directly. Maybe something you're going to have happened that day you didn't know about, and it turns out you did the right thing. But generally, he ain't going to say one word about that. You decide what you're going to do. We make decisions. And that's the way he intended it, that you would be intelligent. You know, people that just, see, there's things in areas that people set up that God has not set up for governing authorities to do. But people do get over into these kinds of things and get into this stuff by teaching things in a perverted way. And but I don't want that kind of control over people. And when kids, I mean, man, when you get that kind of control, I just can't imagine people yielding to you like that. I have never experienced anything like that. But, you know, it's not healthy for the minister or for anybody. Because I'm going to tell you, you'll end up a little dictator. And, I mean, you'll end up controlling me. And I think when it comes down, you get somebody to go that far, after a while you can control their money into your pocket and everything else, which is not good. You know, and I mean, it might sound good to some ministers. I don't want nobody doing that to me, so I ain't going to, you know. And one of the things is just, and I remember with Keith Moore told us, I said, you know, I said last week, Keith had taught this subject, and Keith Moore said this, if you can't submit to man, you can't submit to God. Because we were told, and we need to understand that. There's this submission, and we have to understand how this authority, how this stuff runs and how it goes, so we don't get over into the weird. We don't want to go to the weird because there is the weird. I mean, it gets over. These things have been taught sometimes and they just get strange. I was involved in a group in a church and they got really weird over there. They had, every church had to have an apostle and a prophet over it and that stuff. And they started doing this. I remember Kenneth Hagin tell us, he said, if you started a church, you're in charge of that church, not some other man. He said, you never turn the authority over. And I watched people do this. I watched the guy do this in the church we were in, the chaos it caused. Because, you know, if you look at the Apostle Paul founded the churches and the ministries. He didn't go around look for somebody else's church to take over. And these people are false apostles. In fact, in the scriptures tell us there'll be false apostles, there'll be false prophets, there'll be these. And they had all these false prophets, and these come in, and then they tell people what, they tell the pastor what he's got to do and that stuff, because, you know, it's passed on down the line. That's not what it was set up to do for. These ministries are set within the church to help one another, not to dictate over each other. That's not what they're there for. It is good to have somebody in authority. I have always liked to have it. That's why when the Lord put me out from under some authority I was under, told me, no, can't go with them anymore because they're heading in a different direction. And I began to look for an authority. I want an authority. I want somebody, because somebody's got to have some say about something, because I don't know everything. Last time I checked... Ed wasn't a genius that knew it all. I know some things, but you have to have, there's somebody, and there's people that God has established authority, and if they're following God's authority, they're going to be really good to have in your life. They're going to be good to have that authority in your life, because that will help you. Randall Greer's been a huge benefit to me. Huge benefit because of his authority. Because there's things he gets from God that I don't, because of his position of authority. But he can pass them on to me. He has the authority to do it. But I don't get it myself. I can't get it myself. It's through the authority. Everybody does. You know, you ever think about it? It works. You don't get promoted. You know, you don't get promoted into positions by your supervisor. It's by your head office. They have the authority to promote people into stuff. Now, a supervisor could recommend you, but your supervisor don't promote you into that. Somebody else promotes you into that in a higher authority. Why? They're given that authority so they can take people and they can give them something, right? They can, you know, put them in positions. And so you'll find it's the same way. Man didn't come up with that idea. God did. All authority starts at the top and come down, not from the bottom up. This is a mess up today. They're trying to ask the people on the bottom what the top ought to be doing. Dear Lord, they can't even govern their own lives. What do you think they're going to tell the top? What are they going to offer the top? Nothing. It's like, we just got a weird system, you know. Yeah, I mean, you have that rebellion's in everything. All of us as children thought our parents were idiots at some point in our life. about them. We all did. You know? We thought, they don't know anything. if they were smart like me, I mean, me and my friends, we'll rule the world. We'd make this place really kumbaya and all that. So what is it? Why? The bottom all of a sudden tries to tell the top. Well, you know what? When the bottom starts understanding, growing up, and starts getting into that other authority stuff, boy, didn't it change yet? I mean, it's like, oh, gee. There's a lot today that I was young, I didn't respect my parents, but I see today, I think, man, thank God my parents didn't listen to Ed. My God. Ed, I'd probably be dead in hell if my parents had not had the sense to not listen to Ed. Because Ed didn't know. You know, it's just like, working in any place I've held jobs at, there's always people made complaints about management and running things, but they didn't know all that management knew and why they were making decisions that they made. Now, sometimes I'm not saying management always makes right decisions, but there's lots of decisions that management made were right if people understood what management knew. And sometimes management makes decisions not based on what they know, it's what the government makes them do. Even though they don't like to do it and they know it's wrong, but the government passes it down by law and they have to do it. You know, the government passed down that everybody got lousier insurance. You know, the government passed that down? There's companies that didn't like the fact that they couldn't give their people as good insurance. Again, they didn't like it. But they had to do it because that's what's passed down. So, the reasons why, what people do is they blame the company. What's the company going to do? You know, when you start looking around, there's like, people paying for insurance is absolutely insanity. I mean, it's crazy. So, but you have these things. And this is all about, and the reason I'm going through all this stuff and saying all these things is because for us to realize going on here about how authority works and what it is and what goes on, because we're weeding through all this to walk, but we're going to find out as we go on is how we conduct ourselves in these areas of authority, what we do. So we're laying all this stuff down. Really, if we want God to have the submission over us that we would like him to have, his authority over us, we have to learn to submit in the areas to men and do it properly in a way, not do it some crazy like a person who just lets the authority do anything at once and just yields to it. And then on the other hand, but being just ignoring the authority and doing whatever we want. There's a balance to all of this stuff. And you know, and I'll tell you what, it isn't something you figure out overnight. I realized when I came into Christianity, it wasn't until I went to Bible school that I ever really got any instruction into dealing in these areas. I never had instruction. And I don't know most ministers that I know out here that, other than people who went to Rhema, most of them have no teaching on it at all. Yet the Bible's got it. But they're not taught in it because, there's other things just important. But they don't realize it affects our authority. We can, through these things, ways that the doors of the devil are open and closed to us. Through this thing. And Christians don't understand it. No more than we understand how to operate in this area is no more than we can be submitted to God. And so, we want to find out the truth. But as when I said last week, don't get into condemnation. Don't go to that place where you're, man, I've messed up. And when you hear things as we teach this, don't get yourself into condemnation and think, he's pointing a finger at me. If this stuff don't get all of you and everybody that listens to it, you're far beyond it. Because it does to me. I mean, just sitting down when I go back over to teach it, I look down and say, boy, I could sure improve in this area. Everybody can. And so don't get into that. What it is like anything else in the scriptures. It takes time to learn and develop. You don't start off. I mean, when I first heard the faith message, my words, that was a real, man, because it was sideways to everything else I'd been taught. I didn't know. And so, you know, you're working at it, and over time you build and learn how to operate in it, but you don't. No, nobody ever starts at the top. It's anything. You know, you don't start there. And you're fine with this. It's the same way. So expect yourself to grow up and learn. But there's some things that we already understand and know that can be very beneficial to us to help. It's one of the things I want to say is learn to be led by the Spirit of God and learn to yield to your own human spirit. That is going to help you the most of anything in dealing with this stuff. Learn to listen to your own spirit. Learn to follow in the inside rather than the outside. Because the outside, that's how all these people get into this weirdness. Whether it's on one ditch on one side or one on the other side, is because they're not listening on the inside. Now look, I'm talking to Christians. I do not expect the world. I do not expect the world to get what I'm talking about. Now, to a certain degree, they can if they do what's right. But you got to admit this. Back years ago, people had more respect for authority than they have today. I always say this, as Brother Hagin taught us. Brother Hagin said, if you meet a guy and he's lived in the earth 80 years, pay attention to him, he's learned some things. I mean, today people don't respect people. You know, they may be wrong about numbers of things, but pay attention. You might learn something, because they've learned some things of living in this earth about some things. And he said, pay attention. And I've learned, sometimes slowly, over the years, to pay attention. They've been around. They know. And so it's things that we need to do. So our submission, if we're going to show our submission to God, we have to do it. We do it through our submission over dealing with men. We have to learn that. So you may not respect what someone in authority does. We have a lot of authorities. You can't respect what they do. But nonetheless, we have to respect that position. People don't respect the position that they're in. They treat the whole thing like it's not good, you know. It's like you guys heard me tell the story about when I was praying when Bill Clinton was president. And I prayed for him, but then the Lord spoke to me one day and said, don't do you any good to pray for Bill Clinton. He said, you pray for him. He said, you don't believe I'm doing by what you say. And I thought about it. He said, you're exactly right. So he said, it wasn't doing me any good to pray. But what I wasn't doing, I wasn't respecting the authority. I was praying concerning that position. He was a man who was sitting in that position. But see, God doesn't, if I don't respect the position or office, God can't very well do very much to the individual sitting in the office when I'm not showing respect about it. There's a respect shown because he's in that office. That don't mean I have to like what he does. See, there's a difference in learning. We don't like what an individual does, and it is wrong. You know, the Bible tells us people about even hating. It talks like it's talking. I don't know, maybe people think it's talking about clothing, but it's talking about. It says don't hate even the filthy garments. In other words, the things that people live on the outside. It talks about hating it, the filth that they live and do. Now we're not hating the individual. We can't hate people from the standpoint of the person. We may hate their actions they do, and we should. The Bible tells. I mean, there's Israel. God hated things Israel did. He didn't. He hated it. And we should hate things. One of the biggest problems we deal in our nation is most of the church don't hate sin. In fact, it coddles it. It doesn't hate it. The one thing that I had to learn, if I'm going to overcome in certain areas, I had to hate it. And so I had to hate the thing that I was doing to get over it. I didn't hate it doing it. I was, you know, and when you learn to hate sin, it does help you. It helps you get away from it. You learn to hate it. Say, I don't like that. You know, do you have any problem with something you hate to eat, not eating it? The trouble is like, you know, the ice cream, you like to eat it. So it can tempt you a lot more, can it? Now, if you had a flavor of ice cream that you hated, would you be tempted to eat it? If you set mint chocolate chip ice cream for Ed to eat, you would not tempt me 2 seconds. I don't like it. Now there's people who love it. They think it's great. I can tempt them with it, but you can't tempt Ed with it. How would you like a bowl of this? Oh, my word. I'd rather eat dirt. I don't know. That doesn't mean it's bad for anybody else. I like it. But it's what you hate. It's like, oh, man, I tell you, I don't know why. It's one of those things that just gets to me is to eat it. I could force myself to eat it, but I wouldn't enjoy none of it. I just don't know why. But mint like that does not, oh, I don't know. It just does something to me. Other people eat it, have a great time. So have fun. So it's hating something. If we go over and, you know, in looking at King David, and David, when after he was anointed by God as king and dealing with the areas of Saul, we find that David said he wouldn't touch God's anointed. All that Saul did to him, he said, I won't touch it. It's up to God to remove him. It's up to God to deal that. Because why? God's the one's putting him in, let God deal with that. And so allow God to deal. In other words, he didn't find it was his job. Remember, David was in the cave at, what's that, Abdullah or something? He was in a cave. His men were hiding in the back of the cave, and Saul went in the cave to go to the bathroom. And he cut a corner of Saul's garment off, and Saul didn't know it. He was so close, he cut it off. Saul didn't even know it. And when Saul came out, he comes out and talked to Saul because his conscience bothered him that he did that. And in other words, he did it like, I want to show Saul I could get him. That's what he did. And he said his conscience bothered him. And he went out, and Saul had left, and Saul walked off down in the valley, and he stood up above and called Saul, and he asked Saul to forgive him. He says, Saul, I'm not against you. I'm not against you. I'm not, you know. In other words, you know, we think today, in other words, Saul spent all his time trying to get to David and kill him. David would not respect that plea because why? That authority was established by God. God's going to deal with that man. Well, it did turn out good for Saul, and it turned out good for David. Praise God. I believe that's why God was so merciful to David, because of David's respect concerning authority. When David was being judged, and when David was leaving Jerusalem, was going out because his son was coming in with an army to take over, and David was heading out away from Jerusalem, and they were turning around and talking about David, and David made this statement. He said, look, he said, he's crossing over. He said, he didn't speak concerning against his son and takeover. David realized, you know, that he was being punished for what he had done back. Judgment finally came to David of what he had done with his killing, you know, and taking, what's her name, Bathsheba as his wife, having her husband killed, and all that stuff. And David, really in his submission in the areas of authority, when he was going across, he says, if God wants me to be in charge again, he'll establish me. In other words, he put it over into God's hands, and God would establish him back into that thing. But he wasn't going to try to just to do something on his own. He was going to rely on God concerning that. God had put him in the position. See, his number one is, his son never understood that. His son didn't treat him like he treated Saul. His son wanted to kill him. He's going to try to remove him from office. And there's one thing about it. When you get a person following God and they're walking with God, people need to be very careful what they do to that individual, because judgment may come quickly on them trying to do things against. Back during the healing revivals of the 50s, the mayor down in Miami, Florida, really went against, I forget which one of them was. It was one of the healing evangelists was in down in Florida. They was holding meetings. And they hated him. The only reason they hated him was because he's a Christian. They had people getting healed at the meetings. So they had him arrested for practicing medicine without a license. They put him in prison. And the mayor died. The mayor was judged by God. There was back, now this goes back before the healing revivals of the 50s. This goes back into the 30s where, I forget what her name was, a woman evangelist. Anyhow, I read the article about the thing, and what happened was reporter would follow her around wherever she would go and make fun of her, write bad things about her and all that stuff. And one day he's standing outside of her tent. She's holding meetings, and she was a healing evangelist, and she had quite a ministry. And he's standing out there making fun of her and instantly went insane, and was put in a mental institution and died just totally nuts, out of his mind. Judgment fell on him. People don't realize those things. That's why he's dealing with authorities, learning how to deal with things right. People have to watch what they do. And I'm sure that was very sobering to everybody, just like with Ananias and Sapphira. I bet I changed a bunch of people's minds about, ooh, what should we do out here? Things aren't running very well. And so you have those things. That stuff goes on. But with David, you have the thing is, David understood those things. So praying for other leaders is and not praying for your own will for them. We just don't pray, you know. We need to understand, we pray for leaders. We shouldn't be praying our will. We should be praying the will of God. We want God's will to be done in a leader. Sometimes we don't know exactly what a leader ought to be, what they ought to do. We have an idea we think what he ought to do. We don't always know exactly what that leader. You know, it's one thing as people, we have never had any president that I can ever remember, as far as I can remember policy-wise, at the ages that I started to understand, that when they ran for office, they really didn't know everything it was going to be when they were in the office. And people get upset, well, they changed their opinion. They changed what they're doing. You would too. When you finally know everything else that goes on, you're going to change a lot in what you think. They know a portion of it from the outside, but sometimes you get to the inside. I mean, good, honest people, when they found out what all was going on, there had to be some changes made of how we're going to deal with policies on stuff, how, because of everything that's going on. And so you're going to have that. That's why it's praying for God's will on there. Keith Moore said praying for leaders and to follow your will, what you, and praying for them, what you want them, just want them to do. He said that's witchcraft. Trying to use your spiritual authority to go over to force people to do what you want to do. We're never called to do that. We're never called to do it. There's things and areas that we need to let God deal with some. I would believe this, and I've seen it already, and even with Brother Hagin, if you get over and you learn to yield to God well in submission to God concerning authorities, God may sometimes use you from a position that to speak or to do pray in a direction that might bring judgment on a leader. But you don't want anybody praying. God don't just listen to anybody praying that stuff. People have wrong motives of why sometimes they want a government official dealt with. You know, they just want a government official because they're just downright mad. I don't like what he's doing. Well, sometimes they're doing things and we don't like what they're doing. There's one thing, I realize in this life, we've had an administration that has done a lot of crazy and insane things, and I don't like them, and it's made life bad for a lot of people. But in all this, God's taken care of me. In all this, God's been very good to me. And there's one thing, as I do think about it, this man's on his way to hell. You know, he might discomfort Ed for some years, but Ed's going to live in glory for eternity, and he ain't. If he don't change, my God, where he's going to end up, to where it is, man, it's like, whew, I feel sorry for him because he don't see his destiny. And if he does, he's a fool. He's a fool. But if he don't see his destiny, then there's a compassion that I feel for him, because I think, my God, he's heading on the road to hell big time, and he's dragging his wife and his children with him. When he gets to hell, and you know, people don't understand that. That's what the Lord dealt with me on. You know the big reasons that motivated Ed to get saved? Because the Holy Ghost at Reese's in the lunchroom on a number of occasions told Ed that his family was going to end up in hell because of the direction he was going. See, I always look at it, it's the freedom of my life. I'm doing what I like. He told me, your family's going to end up in hell where you are. That's where they're going to go. You keep going this direction, that's where your family's going to go. Parents don't realize. A lot of parents out here are really insane. They don't realize. They're leading. Not themselves going to hell. They're leading their children and grandchildren and a whole bunch of them all off into hell. They're leading them all. It's because of lack of submission. This submission stuff. If I wouldn't have submitted to God, my family would have probably never ended up following Christ or ever have gone there. You know, Wanda wasn't moving in that direction at all to follow God. Wasn't after what I did. She wasn't even in that direction at all. She didn't know what I knew. She wasn't raised, you know, in a way about things right or wrong as I was. Her parents, they didn't get involved in godly. Her parents were leading her and her brother off to heaven. And that's a powerful thing. So, you know, it's me. It's one thing is I have great respect concerning my parents. Thank God my parents, they might not have known a lot of things about God and stuff they did, but what they do about God, they respected, and they put it in us that God could talk to Ed one day. Ed actually believed there was a hell. What if he's telling there isn't, and all these people today going along in this stuff? What if they had? Thank God for somebody submitted. Thank the Lord someone submitted somewhere. You know, there's things that people look down, parents, like I can look at my parents, there's a lot they didn't know, but praise God. They put some right things that God could deal with me on. And it saved my family's life. Saved my family. So them doing right, it passes on. The Bible actually teaches that principle about the godliness passes on to so many generations and how ungodliness passes on to generations. How does it? Generations get more wicked and more wicked. You know, godly generations can pass more godliness on to the next generation. That's what my parents did to me. That I gained a greater understanding of God than they had. And I can pass a greater understanding because, like Brother Hagin said, if you'll listen to what I teach you, you'll go further than I will. Because he said, it took me all these years to learn this stuff. Well, I can share stuff with you that you don't have to go through the years of learning it like I did. And then you can go further with it. So you can pass it on. Well, evil that's practiced and done in a generation, the next generation, the Bible teaches, will always be more evil than the generation before it. They learn how to practice it. Now they've been taught it. They know how to get right into it. Boy, don't we have that today? The next generation just gets more evil and more evil out of it. Evil's taught. Praise God. Well, I'm going to end there. We won't go any further. I've got to have some scriptures, though, that we're going to go over the next time. These scriptures I'll go over. We're going to look at some things. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul. We're going to look at Jesus concerning the submission of authority. When Jesus was in the earth, he submitted to authorities. We're going to look at John the Baptist and how he dealt with authority. We're going to look at some things because we see in there of how they dealt in different situations, how they dealt with an authority, what they did, and it can help us out. Because it wasn't the fact that they were agreeing with the authorities did, but we want to see how did they deal with it. I want to know how people dealt with it. Because we have such weird stuff on either side. I'd like some good examples how that's done. So we respond correctly. If I respond correctly, I'm in submission to God when I'm doing that. When I know how to respond, then I'm in submission to God. Well, this is one of the things I learned over that. If you're in submission to God, you can ask God for anything and get it. You're in submission. Why? If you're in submission, you're in line with the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word. The Word will work for you, and that's what I want. I want the Word to work for me. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for instructing us in these things and teaching us these things. And Father God, we sure need wisdom in this area in teaching and understanding. Because, Lord God, there are just so many, many things, Lord God, that seem to tie into this. And, Father, I thank you for the instructions in your word will bring things out in clarity to us, that we can all walk and do exactly how you want us to. Because we do desire that Jesus Christ is glorified in the earth, and we want the Holy Spirit poured out in great power in these last days to reach the hearts of men. And, Father, I thank you so much, Lord God, especially. Lord, I thank you for parents who walked and followed God the best they understood, and I appreciate that so much, Lord God, the benefit that came from that. And we do appreciate, Lord God, our elders, and Lord God, especially, I appreciate people who walked and followed God before me, Lord God, no matter who they were. Lord, down through the centuries, there's people who gave their life for this gospel, and I want to let you know that I appreciate that they did those things, Lord God, so we could today have a Bible. We could have these wonderful things of Scripture that were specifically given to us. And Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for all those in authority. And Lord God, and thank you for teaching us how to walk in obedience toward them. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.